Welcome to Life in the Spirit, the weekly online broadcast of The Point Church in Antelope. Each week, Pastor Ed or one of his teaching pastors from The Point brings an encouraging message that will strengthen, encourage, and help you and your family thrive on your journey of faith. Now, here's Pastor Edward Black or one of The Point's teaching pastors.
Do you know that God cares how things get done? There are protocols in the kingdom of which he expects you and I to operate in. The message I'm going to give you today in the next 20 minutes will help you understand what you're going through, why you're going through it, and how you're going to come out the other side. Would that be all right? How many here by the showing of your hands, you say, oh, I have been going through it. Oh, be honest. Okay. This message is for you, and if your hand isn't up, one day it will be. God cares how things get done. He really does. There's three verses today. Each of those verses has the word everything in it. Not some things, everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40 says, be sure to do everything as you make it up in your... Is that what it says? No. 1 Corinthians chapter 40, verse 40 says, let all things, everything be done decently and in good order. Decently in the Greek is a word called euchemanos, which means properly, politely, and with correct motives. How many here have ever caught yourself or you caught someone else doing the right thing for the wrong reason? Be honest, I'm not the only one. You can do the right thing, but for all the wrong reasons. And yet the Lord says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, he says, everything you do, make sure that it is done properly and in good order. Properly, the word euchemanos, proper, correct motives, and in a polite manner, kindly, graciously, not imposing, but gently coming alongside. Now, there's another word. The word for order here, let everything be done decently, politely, with the right motives, not with ulterior motives, but with the right motives. It's the word tachesis. Tachesis is the word for order. Tachesis has an interesting meaning. It says in sequential order. How many here have ever been to IKEA and eaten those terrible meatballs, which are not enchiladas? Okay. Told you, it's going to go through all day today. I think we need to have an enchilada lunch after today. You buy a desk from IKEA. First of all, the instruction manuals are thicker than the book of Revelation. Now, the first thing, open the box. You open the box. Then it says, look out all the parts, make sure everything's there. Then you take this piece, which is 14 by 3 by 6 by 9 by 42 by 12 by N, blah, 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 blah. And then you take this piece and you put them together and you glue and you screw it in. And then now you have, I have a shelf. I have a drawer. And then it says to make another drawer. So you do another drawer and another drawer. And then you move on to the desk assembly. And then finally you take that which you created on the first step and put it in for the seventh step. If you get it out of order, you're going to end up with chaos. The Lord cares very much that what you do for him in the kingdom is done politely, graciously, with the right motive, and in the proper order. There was a guy that used to work for me when I was on staff at Gateway City Church in San Jose. I was there 13 years. And I won't give you his last name, but David was his name. And David was one of these guys that it didn't matter to him how it got done as long as it got done. And he used to drive all of us bananas because he wouldn't communicate. And I'll never forget, this is when I decided I couldn't work with him anymore. Big conference, full page ad in a magazine nationwide, people flying in from all over. And he was in charge of the media, the video. There was like 9 services, 9 different worship sets. Everything was supposed to be preloaded in the computer. And at like 3 or 4 days before the service, we kept calling him, David, is everything in? Is everything done? Are the videos loaded? The worship services, the announcement, no communication. See, David didn't care to him how it got done. Just, hey, look, on the day of the service, it'll be done. But there was so much chaos with him. And the day before, I got people breathing down my neck. Is it done? Is it loaded? Are we ready? We got everyone coming in from all over the country. And we were scrambling, and it was chaos. And then he waltzes in the day of the conference. Well, I told you it was all done. It's all here in a flash drive. Just plug it in, make it play. So much chaos and hurt feelings. And, you know, chaos is not of the Lord. Chaos opens the door to fear, to insecurity, to anger. You open that door, the spirit of fear smells that. Smells like chaos to me, and he tries to slide in and take advantage of when there's chaos. God is not a God of chaos. God is a God of order. So God says, let everything you do be done in proper order, politely, graciously, with the right motives, the right heart. Then he goes on to say, the prerequisites. Don't start Susie Smith Ministries with your name on the building. If you're faithful with little, you will be faithful with? Faithful with what?
Much.
If you can't handle the little thing that's given to you, if you can't be faithful with little, the Lord says, I will give you this to do. If you're faithful with this, over time, I will entrust you with this. But don't ask for this until you are faithful with this. Can someone say amen? Oh, I want all this great stuff. Just show up to church consistently. Do the little things that God asks you to do. If you are faithful with little, he will entrust you with much. Oh, I want to be a pastor of my own church. How about just pastoring two people in a small group? Don't get things out of order. Handle the small things, be faithful, and God will begin to add to you as you walk in faithfulness. Can someone say amen to that? Ecclesiastes. This is a common verse that nobody reads, and when we do read it at a funeral, we blaze through it so quickly because we don't really understand the meat of it. So we're going to really go there today. We're going to run just a wee bit late today, so just work with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, written by Solomon, probably about 190 AD or before Christ, this was written. He was a little cynical during these days, and it kind of shows in his writings if you read it. But he says something interesting. He says, to everything, put up on the screen if you would, to everything, say everything, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Time, season. Time is the word chronos in the Greek. It means linear progression. So where we get the word chronometer, which is where we get the word watch. God gave time to you and I as a gift. Chronos. There is a time, and then God operates in kairos, which is seasons. There is a time, there is a season. When God begins to do what he's going to do, the ultimate end game is when our time, the path we're on, and the season intersect. And it's in this moment where the breakthrough, the answer to the prayer, everything that you really want to have happen begins to happen because time, what you and I operate in, and the season of the Lord culminates in that moment. Are you guys with me on this, everybody? Now I'm going to go deep. Is it all right if I go deep? All right, here we go. I'm going to stretch you just a little bit. For everything, not some things, everything. That sounds like an absolute word to me, doesn't it? So if everything, there is a season, then you and I might want to understand the seasons of the Lord. Too many of us say, well, I'm saved and it's kind of a free-for-all. But see, God has mechanisms in place to take us from glory to glory. He has mechanisms that bring correction to us. He has mechanisms to encourage us. Mechanisms. When you understand how seasons operate, your life becomes less and less stressed, less and less problems. Why? Because how many know when it's winter, you know you have to change your behavior and put on a jacket, a hat, and a scarf? There's no weirdness about it. I know it's December, it's going to be cold. I change my behavior because I understand how the season works. In the summer, I take off the jacket, I put on pants, shorts, and I go to the beach. Why? My behavior changes relative to the season that I'm in. Are you guys with me on that, everybody? So watch how this plays out. For everything, there is a season. There is a time. For everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to tear down, a time to build up. A time to cry and to laugh. Time to grieve and dance. Scatter, gather, embrace, turn away, search, stop searching. A time to withhold, a time to throw away, to tear, to mend, to be quiet, to shout. Isn't it interesting how God typically operates in your life and in mine? There is a time, chronos, and a behavior that is attached to it. There is a time to be born, chronos. There is a time to die. There is a time and a behavior. Time and what God expects you and I to do. A time and an ending behavior. Seasons are bookended by things that God wants us to do, spaces he wants us to move in, things that he wants us to embrace. There is a time with a behavior, a season, and an ending time with an outcome. Now, if we miss the behavior associated with the time here. I know I'm going to stretch you guys in this, but play this out. If we want the birthing of a child here, there is a time for the birthing of the child, then that means there needs to be a time where the mom and the dad experience a moment of intimacy where there is conception. And then there is a season of gestation, a season where it's 9 months to make a baby. But there is a season of the time and the behavior, the season, and then there is a time for that promise to be birthed. Are you guys with me on this, everybody? In giving, there is a time to sow. Then there is a season where you look on the surface and you don't really see anything. You just see the dirt. But underneath the dirt, something is happening. And then there is a time where God says, in this season, in this time, this chronos, you are to reap the harvest of that which you planted. If there is no conception here, there cannot be a fulfillment here, even though there is a season in between. Are you guys with me on this, everybody? My neighbors know that when I'm on a phone call, I try not to walk into my house and I'm yakking on the phone. I think that's rude. So my neighbors all know me. If I'm on the phone and I'm talking to one of you and I'm at my house, I will drive around the block. And all my neighbors know, that's Pastor Ed. He's on the phone with somebody. The beautiful thing about the Lord is if there is a time where God is asking you to do something and you don't do it, if there is no intimacy, there cannot be the birth. If there is no pressing in, if there is no sowing, whatever it is in the time that God tells you to do something, if you don't do it at that time, and yeah, there might be a season and then the time to accomplish is at hand, the gestation is over, and there's a whole lot of nothing. The beautiful thing about the Lord is he says, I love you so much, let's just go around the block. We'll try it again. Isn't that beautiful about the Lord? It's not over. He just says, let's just go around the block and we'll do it again. When you understand seasons, Mark chapter 1, verse 15, very quickly, it says, The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Time is at hand when the time is to be fulfilled. It speaks of, and there's a reference to that back in Job, again, the gestation period, the time of conception and a time of the deliverance, the time where you moved by faith and not by sight, and the time when that, which he says, the season is over, and there is a birthing, there is travail, there is the fulfillment of that whole season. You and I, going through seasons is difficult. It really is, because it often looks like nothing is happening. How many know that when you're believing and praying and doing the right thing before the Lord, you may not see things happening, but things are happening behind the curtain. Things are happening behind the scenes. Things are coming into alignment. Strategic relationships are being brought before you. God is working things out so that when it comes time for the chronos, the time for the fulfillment, the end of the season, the outcome is good, where all things work together For your what? For your good. Now there are natural seasons in life. Infant, toddler, child, preteen, adolescent, teenager, young adult, adult, married, parent, grandparent, heaven. Winter, spring, summer, fall. There's a lot of people that think, oh, spiritual seasons, spiritual winter, spiritual summer, spiritual. There's some truth to that. But if you look in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, it says this, and I think the gentlemen have it up on the screen. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter, and day and night shall not cease. It's a little bit of a blueprint of the seasons that the Lord will take you through as you serve him. As you walk with the Lord, he says, here's the deal. There are things I want you to do. When I want you to do them, how I want you to do them. When you do this behavior at this time, I will take you through a predictable season where there is a natural outcome on the other side, where there is a time where this is a direct result of this. And the season where you don't see stuff happening, those that wait on the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. God is at work, even if you can't see him working. He says, I'm faithful. I will complete the work. I'm going to give you a few seasons that I think will help you. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. I am going to go over. Ken, I'll let you know when you come up. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, he's made everything. Everyone say everything. He's made everything beautiful when? In its time. Everything is amazing in the proper season, in the proper order. If you take a behavior and take it out of its context and drop it into it when it's out of order, a young couple married for 3 years, mom, dad, let's all have dinner. There's an announcement, an opening of a gift, a pregnancy test. Yay! All the moms and dads in here and the grandparents in here say what? Yeah. Ah, the party's on. There's joy. There's laughter. The conception of a child in that season, everything is beautiful. Now take that pregnancy, lift it out of its proper order, and drop it into a 12-year-old girl with a 13-year-old boyfriend. Is there joy, laughter, cheering? Oh, no. Thankfully, God works everything out. Can somebody say amen? But if you take what God wants you to do in one season and push your way, or it ends up in an inappropriate season. Everything is beautiful in its proper season. Everything is ugly when it is out of order, out of its season. Listen, don't predictable seasons. Seed time. Funny how we only talk about seed time during the offerings. Isn't that a tragedy? When God says, in this time frame, in this chronos, in this season, sow seed, you don't instantly get a harvest. There's a season over here where you get the harvest. But it's not just about money. Sowing love, sowing mercy, sowing grace, sowing joy. I want to give you two things quickly here. The place where you sow is rarely the same place that you reap. So don't expect, I'm going to sow my money into the church and you're not going to get a check from the church over here. But God says, I'll open up the windows of heaven from other sources. It says, shall men give unto your bosom, is what it says in the King James. When you sow mercy here, don't expect anything in return. But you're going to get mercy over here. And someone say amen. When you mess up at this church, Pastor Ross, what do I always say? Don't give it a second. Pastor Ed, I'm so sorry. I forgot to set up the chairs. Now, underneath it all, I'm annoyed. But I will say unto you, don't give it a second thought. I am sowing mercy and grace and forgiveness. I don't expect anything back. Because I know that in another season, there's going to be a moment where I need mercy and grace from someone when I blow it. And I hope that that same mercy washes back over me. And I forgot to get the sound guy the scriptures about a month ago. And I said, I am so sorry, Trent. And he said, Pastor, don't give it a second thought. I said, yes, this works. When you plant an acorn here, there is a season. You don't get an acorn back. You get the tree. You get an oak tree. Now, when you add fertilizer to that seed, you accelerate the growth. When you add sacrifice to the seed, Jesus was our sacrificial lamb, was he not? Jesus sacrificed. To be like Jesus, we sacrifice. So you take the seed, you sow it in the season of seed time. If you add sacrifice to the seed, it grows quicker, faster, and has more of a harvest on the back end. So when you have $5,000 in the bank and you give 50, either in the offering or you give it to somebody in need or whatever, that's really there's not a whole lot of skin in the game. But if you have $60 in your bank account and the Lord says to give 50, how many know the sacrifice is much greater? And so the Lord says, your sacrifice is a sweet aroma unto me. And it accelerates the process. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Yes. All right. Now, I don't have time, so I'm going to go with two last seasons. The seasons talk about, there are in here, it says there's a season of cold. When you go swimming and it's ice cold water, you have maybe a cotton shirt on or whatever, and you get out. Yeah, you speaking in tongues? No, I'm freezing. There are seasons of cold where when you go into that season, you are cold. When you're cold, you will find a heat source. You will find a fire. You will change clothes. There are times God takes you through seasons of cold because he wants you to move into a position where you can receive. When I am cold, I will find a fireplace. I will find fresh clothes. I will find a place and turn the heater up. I will move my position from where I was to where I need to be because I am cold. And God says, hey, listen, you may have drifted off a little bit, so I'm going to take you through a season where, ooh, it's cold, and you will move to go find the heat source. Are you with me on that, everybody? There are times that God says, look, I love you. You're great. I believe in you, but you've drifted. The things of the Lord are a little bit less of a priority, so I'm going to send a season of cold unto you. Doesn't mean I don't love you. because I love you, I will allow you to go through this season, and you are so cold, you will find the heat source and press in and warm yourself by the fire of God's mercy, God's grace, God's presence. He moves you from complacency. He moves you from casual to passionate pursuit. If you're going through a hard time today, it could very well be you're just going through a season of cold where it's not that he doesn't love you. It's not that the promises of God and the Bible don't work. It's just that God says, I'm going to allow you to be a little cold so that you will move to a place where you're pressing in to the heat source. Anybody here ever gone through a season of cold? Okay, now I only have time. I'm going to do two last ones real quick. There are times when God will allow you to go through a season of winter. I've gone through two seasons of winter in my life, and I never want to go through it again, ever. In the winter, the sun, it's hard to see the sun because of the clouds, right? In winter, the seed is dormant under the soil. There's ice covering, and things just feel like they're really not working at all. And it's difficult. It can be painful. It can be disappointing. And then if you and I don't respond to the season appropriately, we say, God, none of this works. I prayed, whatever. And God says, no, I love you, but I'm taking you through a season of winter. Now, a lot of times, sometimes, the season of winter is it's collateral damage. We did it to ourselves. We just ended up at a place, maybe we have been disobedient. Maybe God is just saying, look, I love you, but I'm going to help you change your behavior. And so he takes us through a season of winter. Quickly, I'll tell you mine. If you get to know me, really know me, you know that I really try to walk in a spirit of humility. I wasn't always that way. It was a time, because I'm a really aggressive guy. And the Lord came to me after being very patient with me for a very long time. And he says, I really felt in my spirit, the Lord says, your pride makes me sick. And he took me through a season of winter to break me, to humble me, to take me into a place where I realize I'm really not all that in the butter. I don't have that much control that I think I have. And when I came out of that season, I was a much more humble, gracious, thoughtful kind of a guy. I'm not always there, but I strive to be that way. If you find yourself in a season of winter, first of all, it doesn't last forever. There is an end to the winter season. Nobody ever asks where winter is located. This isn't in the Bible, and it's not doctrine and theology. This is my opinion. Winter is located at the base of a mountain, because when you go into the season of winter, it is about correcting behavior. It is about bringing you to a new place, and he's doing such a deep work. It feels painful. It feels like nothing works. It feels like the soil is barren. You can't see the sun. There's no birds chirping, and then all of a sudden, You go through and God says, now you get it. Now you are transformed into the image of my son, Christ Jesus. And he picks you up out of the winter and he says, now I'm going to set you on a path to higher ground. Now I'm taking you to the hill of the Lord. Now I'm taking you to a place where you will see the sun and the glory of God. I'm going to take you through your winter and bring you to a higher place. If you're here this morning and you're going through a winter, your winter can quickly come to an end. But the winter is necessary. I look back at my season of winter. It was hard. I mean, it was really hard. I was actually on anti-anxiety medication, couldn't sleep. My whole life was a wreck. It was the best thing that ever happened to me, because God was working in my life. I wasn't listening. There were some things that were hurting me. And ultimately, he was preparing me for this moment. But to get to this moment, I had to go through that season. Now, if you go through your winter season and you respond and you press in and God does his work, he takes you and he sets you to higher ground, don't rebel. Don't get hardened towards the Lord, because if you don't respond in winter correctly, there's wilderness. Wilderness looks like winter, but in winter, there's no wolves. There's no bears. There's just cold, and it feels like things don't work. If the Lord ever has to take you through a season of wilderness, there are characters in that season that try to eat your lunch. If you give place and the enemy comes in and takes enemy-held territory, then not only do you have the winter season to work with, then you have adversaries trying to steal your lunch. I try to avoid those two seasons. I don't want the Lord to take me back through winter. I don't like winter seasons, and neither should you. But they are necessary from time to time. I don't know one believer who has not gone through a season of winter, and God does this tremendous work, and then he lifts you and he says, now you get it. Now you got it. Let me set you on the path to higher ground. You're going to make it. And God does this beautiful thing. When the scripture says, I will complete the work, but when you explain how he does the work, there's not always a yay. But these seasons, as tough as they are, when you're 5 years after the season, you look and you say, whew, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. If you're here this morning and you're in a winter, spring is coming. Press in. Embrace the love of God. Do things his way. Do what he wants you to do. Do things how God wants you to do them. And you'll find the winter thaw, the ice melts, the sun starts to shine, and you're scooped up from the winter and placed on a solid rock in higher ground. And then it will all make sense. In the winter, it doesn't always make sense because it feels like nothing works. The Bible doesn't work. Prayer doesn't work. None of this works. It's winter. What do you want? At least you're not in wilderness where there's wolves and bears trying to eat what little you do have. God is faithful. Your winter is coming to an end. Press in. Do the behavior in the time. Let the season take its course, and you will reap the harvest. You will reap the birth of the breakthrough. The breakthrough is here. It's just on the other side of the season that God is taking you through. That's how the kingdom works. And that is God's word for today.
You've been listening to Life in the Spirit, the weekly broadcast of The Point Church in Antelope. The Point is located at 8155 Watt Avenue near Watt and Alverta in the Tractor Supply Shopping Center. The Point is a dynamic, friendly, and energetic community that gathers every Sunday morning at 10. Join us for a service and discover for yourself why the church is making an impact not only in Antelope, but beyond the four walls of the church and around the world. Visit us online at www.thepoint.net.